Thanks, Ricky. So like Ricky mentioned, this is going to be about the spring lobby drive. I'm Stephanie Doyle. I'm our senior outreach liaison. I'm in our DC office with Danny Richter. If you want to reach me after this, my email is stephanie@citizensclimate.org. It's all on the website too. All right, so this is going to be the agenda for tonight. So I just wanted to mention that last year we did a webinar like this about the spring lobby drive as well that went into a little more of the nitty gritty, and we had some really great volunteers give examples of in-district lobbying. So I recommend going back and listening to that. It's still really relevant. But so tonight what I'm gonna cover is why we lobby in district and kind of how that differs from DC. I'm going to talk about how in-district lobbying has changed since the election, since there's kind of some new dynamics at play. I'm going to go over what our asks for Republicans and Democratic members are. And then I'm going to talk a little bit about how we can use the Climate Leadership Council proposal that came out last week and how to use our endorsements for in-district lobbying. And then we'll have some time for Q&A. So to start off, I just wanted to kind of give a little bit of history. So a year ago, CCL realized that we should be expanding our lobbying power to more than just our twice a year lobby days in DC. So for a long time, we just had the June and November lobby days, and some people met in district, but not everyone. And we realized that we wanted to make sure that our presence in the district was just as strong as it was in DC, because CCL has a really we're sort of known in DC as being able to bring out a ton of people to meet on the Hill all at once. And we really wanted to have the same impact in district. So we came up with coordinating the spring lobby drive that would cover a couple of weeks in the spring for you guys to meet with your members and their staff in district. And I just wanted to sort of go over why in district lobbying is such an important part of being in CCL and just in general. So meeting in district allows more of your members to participate is the kind of first big thing. Flying to DC just isn't possible for a lot of CCLers. So having meetings in district allows you to show more of the constituent support that exists for your member and the issue of climate change. And it's also kind of nice that, you know, for a lot of people coming in June and November who maybe are in school or have full-time jobs, it's kind of hard, so you can get sort of a different group of people in your meetings as well, which is really nice. The second thing that's great about in-district lobbying is you can bring endorsers to the meeting. So anyone that you've gotten to sign one of those endorsement letters is fair game to ask to join you in meeting with your member, and especially ones who've signed on to our fee and dividend support letter. But just in general, bringing a variety of leaders from your district to your meeting is a really nice way to show that there's sort of a variety of support for climate action in your district. And an extra bonus is that if you are able to bring in high leverage people, you probably increase your chances of getting a face-to-face meeting. So if you're bringing, you know, your local pastor or a CEO of a local business, there's a much better chance that they're gonna let you meet with the member face-to-face. The other great thing about in-district lobbying is that it can be done as many times as you like. So some CCL groups meet with their offices up to 3 to 4 times a year, and that can be staff and member. By meeting with the in-district staff, you allow easier access for your group later. So once you made that relationship, you can go back and meet with them again. And it also helps to plan accordingly for when the member's back in district. So if you have a really great relationship with the staff, they may be able to give you that heads up, like, hey, the member's gonna be in town. I know you've been wanting to meet with them. But it's just as important to keep up that relationship with the district staff as well. And I'll go over kind of who are the most important ones in a few slides. So meeting in district, which I've already sort of mentioned, but it increases your chances of getting a face-to-face meeting just in general. So last year, 30% of our meetings in district were face-to-face, which is as opposed to our 10% of our lobby days in DC. And part of the reason is that members are less distracted when they're in district. They aren't getting pulled away to votes. They're not having multiple issue staffers dragging them away to different meetings. So you really have more time with the member, and you usually have a better chance to have a deeper dive on whatever issue it is for us, you know, climate change, than you would in DC. And meetings in district also make your chances of getting that DC office visit a little bit easier. So if you have a good meeting in district, a lot of times the staff will offer you a direct line of communication to the DC scheduler, or you can sometimes schedule the DC meeting in the district office, which is really nice. And it will make your life a lot easier come June and November when we're trying to schedule those again. And then lastly, district staff play an important role in helping us to get endorsements. So the district staff may have a better idea of who in the community plays the biggest role in influencing the member of Congress. They can offer you insight into who he or she meets with when they come back from the district to the district. And it's really valuable information that DC staff sometimes doesn't have. A lot of the staff in DC, they may not even be from the district. They sometimes are not even from the state. So having that connection to the district staff is really important for knowing who really is influential to your member. So I know some of you have watched some of the presentations that CCL gets from the Congressional Management Foundation. They're a really awesome group that conducts surveys of Hill staffers, and they ask them just such useful questions that we've really been able to use. And they offer some incredible insight into the minds of staffers and what they think are the best techniques for getting through to them. So I pulled out two graphs that I really liked from some of their recent presentations. So this one shows the results from a question that was asking staffers, in your opinion, how important are the following activities to understanding constituents' views and opinions? And then they listed a bunch of ways a bunch of activities. And the one to pay attention to are in that red box. Those are ones that were deemed somewhat important and very important, and all of them are over, I think, 80%. And as you can see, they include telephone town hall meetings, in-person town hall meetings, district and state office hours, personalized messages from constituents, and attending events in the district or the state. So almost all of those are directly related to doing things in district, which means our meetings in district are taken very seriously, and they give the staffers, and therefore the member of Congress, a much better idea of where the constituents stand on the issues of the district. And then another really cool question that was asked recently was, what should groups do more of to better relationships with the office? And for this one, I included only the top answers because they were the most important ones. But you can see that it's 59% said meeting in district, 62% said getting to know the district or state director, and 79% said getting to know the legislative staffer over your issue. And then it looks like one of them got knocked off. But there was another one that was 85% said providing info on the impact to the district or the state. And so the biggest message is that it's kind of nice to see that CCL is already doing most of these things. We've given members of Congress the household impact study, which broke down by district the effect of carbon fee and dividend for their district. And most of your groups have a liaison who already should be working directly with the staff for covering climate and energy issues. And mostly I just wanted to show these graphs to remind you that district meetings really do matter and that staffers take them very seriously. And then improving our relationships in district is extremely valuable both from the staffer perspective as well as the member perspective. They really do need to care about what their constituents want them to care about. You know, they want your votes, they want to get reelected. And so by meeting in district, we can remind them of this repeatedly. So who are we meeting with in district and why do they matter in the bigger scheme of things? I get asked a lot, like why aren't the ones in DC the ones who are getting things done? They're the ones writing the laws. And that's not totally the case. So in district staff matter because they are the boots on the ground. They keep the pulse of the district for the member while they're gone, which is extremely important to them, especially if they wanna keep their seat. They need to be up to date on what the issues are. And what their constituents want them to be talking about. So it matters that we stay in contact. district staff can end up being the ones who champion our policy to the member of Congress, and they can provide context and backup in a way that we can't. You know, we can't be in every meeting or every discussion within the office. So if you can get that great relationship with a staffer who will be able to talk about fee and dividend on their own to the member, that's how we really move our message up kind of through the ranks of the office. And district staffers can also provide you links to the staff in DC. Like I mentioned before, they can connect you to the scheduler. They may be able to let you know the best times to get a face-to-face, or let you know ahead of time when the member is going to be back in district. And a lot of times they'll help you to get a meeting with the right DC staffer when you're doing that, to make sure you're meeting with, you know, the energy aide instead of the scheduler or the secretary. And the best person to have on your side in the district office is the district or state director. And it's a state director when it's a senator. So the district or state director is the member of Congress's best friend in the office. They are the top staffer, the manager of operations in the district office. They're the person with the best political skills. They're usually the one that's helping the member kind of navigate the waters of politics within the district. They oversee the district schedule, so they know when they're going to be back, how long, who they're meeting with, and they act as a primary contact to groups and individuals in districts, so to groups like us. And another kind of fun fact is that the district director is often the one who picks up the member of Congress from the airport and drives them around and just generally spends the most time with them of anyone in the district. Ricky mentioned this at the beginning. So it's usually somebody that the member of Congress likes and spends a lot of time with. And so all that's to say is that having a direct line of communication and forming a relationship with the district director is an extremely useful and strategic way to get our messaging further into the office, which is, of course, what we want. We want the best and the highest and the most influential staffers within an office to be talking about our proposal to the member and also reminding them that meeting with CCL is enjoyable, that it's a good idea, that we're useful. So making sure that you make a really good impression on the district director or state director is really important. So now I'm going to switch gears a little bit and talk about how in-district lobbying has changed since the election. And the reason that I wanted to address this was it's come up a lot lately from volunteers in the field, and the staff has been thinking about it a lot since the election, which is just, you know, just generally how have things changed, especially in district for you guys on the ground since the election. So we keep hearing all these wonderful examples of new groups popping up, lots of new advocacy groups who are meeting with members, calling members' offices, and in some cases they're taking a slightly more aggressive approach to meeting with members than CCL does. So they're occupying offices, maybe aggressively attending town halls, and I just wanted to sort of address what that means for CCL and how we can keep standing out in the crowd of all of these new constituents who are really wanting to be involved. And I think it's really important to remember that this is awesome. It's so great that we are seeing, I mean, I'm sure all of you like me have had their Facebook flooded with people who I never thought cared about politics that suddenly are really involved. So with the influx of groups, especially ones that are dominating offices, it's important to just remember that more people than ever are vying for your member of Congress's opinion and time on a variety of issues. And so we want to make sure that we can still get through and be influential and make sure that climate is still a big issue and one that our member is reminded of. So how do we continue to make ourselves heard? So one thing that we recommend doing when you meet with your offices, and yes, you should still be meeting with your offices. I've gotten a few questions of people asking if we should be bothering them and having a meeting. You should absolutely still be having a meeting. Whenever you're not meeting with your member, you know that some other group is going to be getting in there to meet with them. So we really want to make sure that our issue remains a top priority. So one of the things that you can do when you do get that meeting is ask the staff very straightforwardly, say, how's it going? What are your feelings about having so many more constituents calling and being active participants? You can ask them what their preferred method of communication is. You can say, would you rather get phone calls, you know, when the member does something that we'd like to thank them for? Would you rather get emails? And honestly, it may just help to let them vent about how much larger their workload is and to acknowledge that we understand and that we're not trying to add stress to their lives, but that we still want to come and make sure that our issue still gets heard. And additionally, it's really important to remember that CCL is a great method that works. So continuing to do what we do best, which is be respectful and appreciative of the member and their staff, we're automatically going to stand out in the crowd of groups that may be more aggressive or confrontational. And another thing that's important to remember is to keep relying on our liaisons. So hopefully your groups have somebody, and it's probably you guys, who have been forming relationships with the staff for a long period of time, or short in some cases, but people that hopefully the staff recognizes the name, and they trust us, and they view us as a reliable person to listen to. And so by continuing to rely on those liaison relationships, we will remain less overwhelming to the offices, and we may get some doors open to us that other groups won't be able to. And our approach, you know, the hope is that our approach will be even more appreciated now because of the contrast to these other groups. And while it's great that more people are getting involved, it's really important to remember that CCL remains respectful and appreciative whenever you're dealing with offices, especially in district. And that's to say that, you know, you can go and work on whatever issue you want as an individual, but we ask that when you're going as a CCLer, you really maintain the respectful tone that makes CCL so great. All right, so what can you ask from your members when you go to meet them in district? So there was already a webinar, I believe, a few weeks ago about how to get a meeting and how to schedule that. So this is not going to be about that. This is more about what you can have your ask be. And the info on all of these asks can be found on the community page. If you go, I think it's on the very front page of community, there's a link to the Spring Lobby Drive page, and that has a downloadable page with all of these asks. And I just wanted to remind you that these are merely suggestions. Your meeting and agenda and supporting asks should be completely up to your group. We trust you guys to know what will be the best move for your member of Congress, what step or what ask is going to help move them forward, and where your relationship stands with them. So you should absolutely discuss with your group what is the best strategy for you. Not all these are going to apply to everyone, but we do like to offer some suggestions as a starting place and as sort of backup if, you know, you can't, if you're stuck. So for the first four on this page, they can really be applied to Republicans and Democrats. They pretty much apply to both. So the first is that you can ask your member to invite another member from the other side of the aisle to join the Climate Solutions Caucus with them. And it's important to remember that you don't want to offer to matchmake yourself. The member should be the one doing the outreach, not us. The reason for that is that it tends to move a lot faster if there's not a bunch more middlemen in between. And members talking to other members is probably the most influential way to get anything done. They're on the floor, they know who likes what issues, and they have relationships with certain people. So it's great to let them kind of do that on their own. A second ask is you can ask them to hold a town hall on climate change in your district. Another way you can sort of be involved with it is you can offer to help find speakers if they would like. So if it's, say your member was a retired Army official and they'd like to work the national security angle for their constituents, you can offer to find a general for them to come speak. If they'd like to have a conservative thought leader there to sort of back them up, you can offer that. And all of those are ways that you can show that CCL is really out there to make them look good, that we want to help them get the backing that they need to be further out on climate. You can also ask the member to discuss the results of the REMI study or the household impact study with colleagues on both sides of the aisle. It's always good to keep reminding them of those studies and having them bring them up with members. The same reason I said having a member talk to another member is a bigger influence. It's the same thing with a study. And then lastly, you can ask a member to speak with business leaders about the benefits of a carbon tax. Or you can ask them for introductions to people in your district who may have sway with conservatives or progressives, depending on your district. If you're, you know, having trouble getting an endorsement from an environmental justice group, maybe your member has a connection to that. Or same thing for conservatives. If they have a utility person that they really listen to, perhaps they can offer you an introduction. And then we have two more asks that are a little more specific to parties. So if you have a Republican member of Congress, you can ask them to join the Republican Climate Resolution. So this was the Gibson Resolution last Congress. It's going to be resubmitted at some point this Congress. We're not sure when. And if they're interested in this, you can send them the language from the last Congress. I don't know if we have it up somewhere. We should, but if not, you can email me and I can have it. Or you can search on congress.gov should have it. And if they're really interested, you can also ask them to contact Elise Stefanik's office. She is a representative out of New York 22, and she's going to be the one resubmitting the resolution. So she's actively taking recommendation. You know, if people are, if staff or members are interested, they can contact her office. For Democrats, you can ask if they can commit to supporting revenue neutrality and to have that discussion about it with a Republican colleague. So the reason for this is it's still the case that Republicans assume that a bill like ours will never get support from Democrats because they think Democrats want to spend the revenue. So the more we can change that narrative amongst themselves, amongst members on the Hill, the better off we're going to be when there is a bill. It's sort of the same idea that, you know, when you talk to Democrats about climate change, they don't believe that Republicans are good on it. So it's the same idea. There's misconceptions on both sides. So whatever we can do to kind of dispel those is always a good thing. It also doesn't hurt to continue making sure Democrats and Republicans understand the basics of carbon fee dividend. You know, if all else fails, just ask them, you know, is there any parts of the policy that maybe you're confused about? We're happy to talk to you more about any aspect that you would like to talk about some more. So there's two other aspects that are sort of new that I wanted to cover and talk about how you can use them in your lobby meetings. So the first is what to do with the Climate Leadership Council proposal that came out last week. So for those of you who haven't heard, there was a proposal that was made public and brought to the White House last week by a group of statesmen from the GOP, which included James Baker, George Shultz, both of which who were secretaries of state and treasury, and Greg Mankiw, who's an economist. There was eight really esteemed Republicans that came out with this proposal. And I'm not going to go over the details of it here, but you can go to their website, which has some great documents, or on CCL Community, we have a really awesome fact sheet that Danny made that goes over the differences between this proposal and our proposal. And offer some great insights on how to talk about it. And liaisons should have already sent this to the DC staffers, probably with an article. There's been a few that have been printed about it, but we still think there's an opportunity to keep talking about this within the district. So one suggestion that we have, and you don't need to do this, I highly stress that you should only do this if you think it's going to help your cause rather than hurt it. And you can, you know, discuss this with your group if you think this is a good idea. But you can send the proposal over to the district before your meeting with a note saying something like, CCL is really excited the conservatives have stepped out with their own solution to climate change. We would be happy to discuss the differences between the CLC proposal and CCL's proposal when we meet in district if that interests you. And for both Republicans and Democrats, this is a really good opportunity to kind of bring up details of the proposal, how it differs from ours, and get their take and opinion on what they think about it, what they think the politics of this are. I would just stress that it's important to know the differences before you're going to have this discussion, and to remind them that this is not a CCL proposal. This is a completely separate organization, but that we think it's a great opportunity to talk about carbon fee and dividend with a slight conservative twist on it. And like I said, CCL's take and the details about where it differs are all found on this great fact sheet that's on Community. And additionally, it's a nice reminder for Democratic offices to show them that Republicans are offering a positive solution to climate change and reaffirm that bipartisanship is possible on this topic, even in a toxic political climate. I find sometimes that you kind of get stuck when you meet with Democratic offices, especially ones that are so great on climate, but a lot of times they need reassuring that that progress is being made. And so being able to show them something like this, I think will really make them feel a little bit better about the political landscape. And then lastly, I just wanted to talk about endorsements. So many of you have been working really hard to get endorsements within your district. And even if you're not able to get the endorsers themselves to join your meeting, it's great to be able to bring those letters that you've gotten signed, showing the endorsements at the very least. So if you use the endorser portal, you can actually get a state report of all of the endorsements of businesses and individuals in your state in one nice document. You can print it out, you can send it ahead of time, you can bring it to your meeting. And to get to this, you can go to Community, and then at the top, it'll say Action Teams, and you can click on that. And then on the right, there's a link to the endorser page, which will take you to the page that you're seeing right now. And then under where it says print and distribute endorser reports on the far right, it's not shown there, but underneath U.S. National Endorsement Report, there will be a state one you can click, and that will take you to a Google Doc, and you can pick your state and print those out or download them. And bringing these to your meeting is a really great way to talk about the constituent support that you've been getting, to talk about businesses that are supporting this, both for climate action and fee and dividend. By showing that there's support in the district for our work, we can really ensure that members feel supported. It's the one thing that's been getting all these Republicans to step out and join the caucus and the resolution. So continuing to show them that we are getting more and more people to endorse this policy will really continue to make climate a priority. And that's all I have for you. So I'm happy to answer any questions. Yeah, bring them on.
All right, thanks, Stephanie. So I'll let you grab a sip of water real quick, take a breath for just a moment, and I'll let folks know how they can ask questions. And I got a couple of comments as well that I think, just add to what you were saying. You know, the first thing, just talking about endorsers, I did have one in a conversation with Brad Fitch of the Congressional Management Foundation. You know, he was saying that endorsers and those endorsement letters, while they're great when you go to DC and the energy aides need to know about them, it's the local guys that hear from these people more so than others. So the endorsements are probably even more important to discuss at the local level, because they're the ones answering the phone calls from those local folks. And that's really important. And, you know, one of the things that we've done in the past, and I think you alluded to this, Stephanie, is during the meeting, or maybe even at the end of the meeting, is to ask a question, you know, what could we be doing more of to make this easier for Congressman or Congresswoman blank to support our policy? Yep. And that's when you open up the door, and with those local folks, it's so important, because again, they're the ones who are hearing from, you know, XYZ widget company all the time. And they would say, well, you know what, if you've got a good relationship with them, they may just say, you know, you should be talking to XYZ widget company. You know, they're the ones that call here all the time. And it's not necessarily the biggest companies. I've been surprised at some of the companies people say it, and some offices have said, it's not your large companies that call, right? They have policy shops that call DC, right? But the ones that call the local offices are usually your smaller businesses, and they're the ones that call all the time. And so they get a lot of attraction in the offices. So asking them that simple question can help out a lot. And then, so there's a couple other things. I think I'll touch on this in a second, but why don't we go ahead and open it up, because I'm sure people are tired of hearing us talk. Open it up and we'll ask some questions here. So if you want to ask a question to Stephanie, press *6 if you're on the phone to unmute yourself, or if you're online, click the little microphone symbol in the lower left-hand section of your screen, and just tell us your name and where you're joining from again, and ask your question.
Hi, this is Kathy Moyd from Portland.
Yes, go ahead, Kathy.
Yeah, I've been working now with the endorsers team, and I noticed that on the state reports, they only put the people who've actually signed our letters rather than including all the people who have the public positions, which are a lot more that we have, who've signed things like the Ceres Climate Declaration and, that are calling for climate action. And it seems like having a nice long list would be better than having the shorter, just the endorsements letters list.
Yes, it would be, for sure. It's just right now it's a matter of resources and time and trying to get all those things together.
I'm a resource.
The one.
Yeah.
The national endorsement report that you can find on the community that has some of the bigger names that I think you're thinking of. Yeah. Not everyone.
I'm thinking even the Ceres list has a whole lot of local ones.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Kathy, I think you're spot on, you're dead on, and that is something that we're working towards.
The main reason I've joined the endorsers team is to help with
great. But I'm hoping
if we do, we get them publicized.
Yes. Yeah, we're definitely working towards that. I appreciate the input. So thanks so much. And thanks for your work with the endorsement group too. That's really, really important. One other thing I thought about there, Stephanie, another thing that Brad Fitch said in their latest webinar was he talked about four things that there's a big difference in between, you know, what members of Congress are wanting and what we're providing them. And here are those four things. I think that they're pretty important for us to consider as we do our meetings with our members of Congress. And first of all, we've touched on this, but local VIPs who are concerned about climate change. Yeah. And so, for example, in my district, one of the people we have found is a local reverend who is also a retired Air Force fighter pilot. She is. And my member of Congress is a former Air Force member. So, you know, those types of folks that might resonate with them a little bit more. They want to know more about the local impacts of climate change to the district. So not so much as focusing on the polar bears, unless you're where polar bears live, but mostly, you know, what are the local impacts to climate? And then again, Stephanie mentioned this, how would our policy impact the district? Very important. They want more information on that. And another thing that Brad had mentioned was giving them something they can say yes to, right? So they're not there right now. They know they can't, that some people can't really move from, you know, a dismissive attitude straight to supporting carbon fee and dividends. So what is something that they can say yes to? And that's why I'd like to open it up here and maybe get some feedback from some folks who we asked at the beginning of this webinar, this meeting, who is local, who has lobbied locally, and lots of folks said they have done that for a while. So maybe we can get some examples of some asks from some of you veterans, some things that you've been able to ask your member of Congress and that they've been able to say yes to. And maybe that'll help others who are going in to lobby for their first time. So again, if you'd like to share that, please press *6 on your phone or click the little microphone symbol next to your name.
Hello, this is Jody Schoenfeld from Columbia County.
Thanks, Jody, go ahead.
Hi, yeah, this isn't relating to my job as the Gillibrand liaison, but one of the members of our group is a liaison with Congressman Faso in District New York 19. And we are meeting with one of his staffers tomorrow. We were told in a previous meeting that Congressman Faso was going to reintroduce the Gibson resolution to Congress. And I just heard you say, or heard it say, that it was actually Ms. Stefanik that was going to do it. So I'm a little confused about that, but we're meeting with them tomorrow, and we were sort of constructing our ask around asking Congressman Faso if, or his staffer, whether or not he had gathered the number of co-sponsors to reintroduce the bill. But if he's not the one in reintroducing it, that sort of changes things.
Yeah, I'm happy to answer that. So FASO has been pretty vocal about being great on it, on climate. And there was actually quite a few members that wanted to resubmit. But Stefanik, from everything that I understand, sort of won out. She was very gung-ho about wanting to introduce it. And they are still waiting to get that number. As far as I know, I would assume that they would have introduced it if they had that. So you're welcome to ask him about if maybe he's also planning to introduce it with her, maybe. But Stefanik has been pretty public with her saying that she's going to be the one to reintroduce that.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, so let's stop there. So like, let's just take that for an example and maybe see how we could craft an ask out of something like that, right? So we know that here's a member of Congress that has shown some type of willingness to sign on to the GOP climate resolution. So obviously an easy ask would be, are you going to, or you sign? But maybe what's another ask if we put our sort of thinking hats on? How could we push that a little bit further with that member of Congress? And this is a luxury, first of all, to have that member of Congress in your district. But what do you think? Has anyone got any thoughts about maybe another ask that Jody could give that we could get the member of Congress to say yes to that might even push things further? And Stephanie, you can answer. Could he or she speak to other Republican members about, become an advocate?
Yeah. That was in mind was especially maybe pointing out or asking what other Republicans FASO has a good relationship with and would be able to speak to on a member-to-member level. That's really the best way to get any other Republicans to move on something is to have a colleague go to them to talk about it. So, it sounds like you guys, it's New York, right? Isn't FASO? Yeah. You could coordinate amongst yourselves about which other Republicans you think he might have a good relationship with and might have influence over.
Great. Go ahead.
I'd like to follow up on that. I have a vested interest here. We have a congressman, it's a member in good standing of the House Freedom Caucus. So a good ask from another district, right, would be to ask if they could hook up with one of the Freedom Caucus members and get them to sign.
Yeah. What's your member of Congress's name, John? We'll have Jody ask.
Bill Posey.
Here we go.
Yeah.
So, yeah, maybe it's even something as, hey, our volunteers are meeting with Congressman Posey's office in Florida. What kind of relationship does Congressman FASO have with him? Would he be willing to speak with him about it as well?
Right. Yeah, I would love that.
I do too. I
love that. Okay, thanks.
Yeah, absolutely. So Jody, we just changed your, hopefully we didn't just change your whole meeting. And these are suggestions, Jody.
I'll speak to my group tomorrow morning and see what they have to say.
Yeah, these are just suggestions for other people as well. This is a lot of what we do at CCL is you got to understand, everyone's going to have a little bit of a different ask. Because let's continue to vet that out a little bit more. Yeah, go ahead.
I was just thinking for ones who've agreed that we need to take action on climate changes to have them bring it up themselves when they have town halls, not just respond to questions, but we did that in our meeting in June, and the staff members seemed very pleased that we were asking something fairly simple.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I don't know if the congressman did it, but anyway, at least it was something they could say, we certainly think about that.
And so something like that too, Kathy, to your point, I think it's something that you can follow up on because you could just follow up with that Saffron and say, hey, did the member of Congress, a lot of times some of our asks are hard to follow up on. So maybe that is could they bring it up, or like Stephanie was talking about, could they host a town hall even in their district?
Yeah. It turned out he didn't have any town hall, so.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, great. Let's see. So anyone else? Anyone else have any ideas or some things that might be different or new that you're considering as an ask, a supporting ask for your member of Congress this spring? Please feel free to let us talk about that right here.
This is Sandy from Mesa. I have been informed by the district office that I probably will not be speaking with a member of Congress, but rather with the district manager. And then he has a person in that office also that is dedicated to environment and energy. So those are the two people I'll be meeting with. And I was disappointed, but I'm sort of viewing it as a positive opportunity to really get to know them and to make a connection. And then I think the big ask will be to have the Congressman Biggs meet with CCL in June when the big meeting happens. Mm-hmm. And but I love the idea of asking if Congressman Biggs does have a town hall to talk to the town hall attendees and find out if they have concerns about climate change. Because one of the things I was going to use in my presentation to both the district people is that a high percentage of Americans are concerned about climate change, even in this very Republican area that I live in.
Yeah, absolutely. Is this your first meeting, Sandy, with this office? Right, you said it's a new member of Congress, right?
It's a new member of Congress. I met with the former member of Congress a couple times and had good meetings.
Yeah.
Good meetings with them, but this is... this is new territory, and I do believe that, well, the former congressman was a member of the Freedom Caucus, and I think this gentleman has just moved right in. So it'll be interesting.
I think that's a great plan. Getting in with the district director is going to be just the best way to set yourself up to influence the member. A lot of times they kind of serve as the filter, so they'll let things through that, you know, they think the member should know about. And it might be too that they're sort of vetting CCL and making sure, you know, that the member's not going to get an earful. Like I said, there's a lot of groups now that, you know, I'm sure some of these staffers are pretty protective over their bosses. So I think that's a awesome first step. And
we actually got a letter from one of our staff people basically telling us, don't put so much emphasis on the member of Congress, we're the ones who are going to tell, you know, get the information. So if you have an appreciation that you can have for the staff person, not just for the member of Congress, if you can ask the staff person what he thinks about it, not necessarily what the member of Congress thinks about it, I think you would get a lot further.
Wow.
I actually went to the June meeting last year because we were meeting with the staff person and not the congressman, because I knew it wasn't his top issue and we were just going to get platitudes from him where we could make some progress with the staffer.
Yep, thanks, Kathy, appreciate that. You know, another thing I would just add on to Sandy, I know you probably might have already thought of this, but with a new member of Congress as well, a lot of, or anyone I'm meeting with new, is one of the things I like to ask them is, you know, how can we be a resource to you? So they see that we're extending a hand and trying to help them maybe come to a conclusion that they weren't ready to accept. But if we can move them a little bit closer and offer to be a resource, that's a good way to start. So thanks so much. Anyone else who hasn't had a chance yet that would like to share or have a question, but maybe like to share one of the asks that they're going to make for this spring, press *6 on your phone or click the little microphone symbol next to your name or lower left.
Hey, this is Caroline in Tampa. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Hey, Caroline. Go ahead.
Hey. I will be meeting with, well, hopefully, I'm still waiting on a response, but I'm requesting a meeting with my member of Congress, and nobody from CCL has ever met with her before. So given the recent Climate Leadership Council proposal, is it still appropriate to present CCL's proposal almost as if the other proposal doesn't exist and then bring it up later if it comes up? Or how, if they're hearing about it for the first time, how do we tie the two together other than without it being awkward, I guess?
Yeah, that's a really good question. Is it a Republican member that you're meeting with?
No, she's a Democrat, Kathy Castor in Florida. She's great.
Yeah, I would say that you probably should start with just the CCL proposal. I mean, it's great to show that there's progress being made, but or lack of confusion, I think you can, you can bring it up there. If it was Republican, I would say you might get more traction and get more out of your meeting showing them that there's a bill from Republicans. But I think, just making sure that they understand our proposal first is probably a good strategy.
Yep. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. And the way, you know, you're in Florida, the way you're definitely, I'm sure, going to talk about the Climate Solutions Caucus and Congressman Deutsch and Congressman Corbello for sure. I'm sure you've already thought of that, but that's a...
Yeah.
Wow, you guys are lucky. I know. I wish we had that in Texas. We don't have that yet. We're not quite there. We're going to get there, though. All right. Thanks so much, Caroline, and good luck with your meeting. Anyone else have any questions about maybe your situation, any of the things that Stephanie has spoken about tonight? Press star 6 on your phone or put the little microphone symbol in the lower left-hand corner.
I have a question.
Yes. Who is this?
Hi, I'm Alexa. I'm from District 45 in California.
Hey, Alexa. Thanks.
And our rep is not so far very supportive of climate change, but she is part of the leadership of the Bipartisan Women's Caucus. And I was wondering if there's any possibility of somehow asking her to network with some of the representatives who are also in the leadership who are more interested in climate change.
Yeah, I think that's a great ask. Absolutely. I mean, you could even find some of the women that are on the Climate Solutions Caucus and ask, you know, which of these does the member have a relationship with any of these members, or even doing some research beforehand and finding out if any of them are in the women's caucus with her. That's also a good way to bring it up. You could say, you know, I know you see Representative Love on a regular basis. Is there any chance you'd be willing to ask her about what she thinks about being on the caucus? I think that's a really good way to get that member-to-member interaction, and that may move her more than, you know, hearing from a lot of constituents. Sometimes it helps to see that another member is doing great things on climate and still in their seat and, you know, getting positive feedback. So I think that's a really good idea.
Yeah. Maybe take that, take the list of the folks from the Climate Solutions Caucus in the meeting with you and just say, hey, is there someone on this list that she has a good relationship with from the Women's Caucus, and see if maybe you can make that connection to help move her along. That would be cool.
Yeah, or maybe I could actually ask staff about that ahead of time.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, great thanks. Thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Anywhere we can draw those connections and, you know, have other folks talking to them instead of us is probably a good thing, right? Absolutely. Thanks so much. Anyone else, any other thoughts that people have out there or any different strategies that they're trying this spring?
I was just going to say that using caucuses and other groups are a really good way to cross-pollinate. And it's really easy to figure out which ones your member's in. You can just kind of Google it and they'll have lists. There's, you know, you can find most members are in so many different groups that it's a really good way to make those connections. So that's just a great idea. And we do it at the office all the time, looking up who's in what group and how we can get them to talk. So, yeah.
Hi, this is Steve Bagstead.
Hey, Steve, go ahead.
Greetings. I have two questions for y'all. First one maybe is an easy one. Did I hear a reference that there was a way to find a specific local impact for our particular district somewhere? I know there's general ones from the studies and that sort of thing. But.
Yeah, let me, hang on, I'm sharing my screen right now. I can show you in a couple of places on community. And we're working on this on community as well. Well, I don't want to give away too much, but we're doing some other things with community that are going to have some more of this local impact stuff on here pretty soon. Well, I'm not going to give a win because you never know. But let me share my screen here. Give me one second. I'm pulling up community right now, and I'll show you a couple places. And for those of you who are on the phone, I'll sort of kind of walk through it. Let me share screen again. Community. So, okay, hopefully you guys can see the screen, Stephanie, right?
Yep.
Okay, good. If you go to the CCU training section, this is this navigation menu item up at the very top of each page. When you click on that, there's actually a couple of lessons from our friends. One's from our friends at, well, actually they're both from our friends at Climate Central. It's under the other training, and we got a little recategorization of things that are going to be happening here pretty soon too. That'll help out. But let's see. Oh, here it is. Demonstration of Climate Central. They have a, so if you're on the coast, if you're a coastal city or maybe in Florida, this would be really important for you. They have this Surging Seas Risk Finder tool, which is really cool because you can put in your area code, your zip code, not your area code, your zip code, and you can play with this little indicator that moves and says, oh, okay, what will happen at 2 feet of sea level rise? What will happen at 3 feet of sea level rise? There's this whole video lesson in here that's a demonstration of it if you click on it. And then for those of you that aren't on the coast, you can see this, whoops, I'm sorry, I clicked on that. This is the lesson for the Surging Seas Risk Finder tool. But if I'm going to go back, there was one right below it as well, and that's called the States at Risk tool. So they developed another tool that's available for folks who, you know, maybe aren't, you know, on the coast. Let me go back to the other training again. And that's this States at Risk tool. So you can click on that. Again, click on your state. It'll give you some information about, you know, like what's your propensity of wildfire or different types of things. But you know what? I don't think that that beats the research you can do. You can do a lot of great research on your own locally as well. Go ahead, Stephanie. Do you have something you want to add?
I was just going to say, isn't there a way to access the household impact study by district somewhere?
Yes. Yeah. So then household impact study would also show you like what impact our policy is going to have on the district. And so if you go to the resources section here, so what I was just showing you is more of like the local impacts of climate change. What I'm going to show you now is where to find information that will show you or help a member of Congress understand the impact of our policy on their district. If you go to the lobbying, so if I click on resources and I'm going to click on the lobbying resources tab, and I'm going to scroll down to where it says, give me 1 second. What are we looking for again? Oh, household impact study. Yeah, sorry. I get lost. Household impact study. Well, I'll tell you what. You can always just search. Let's just search. Oh, you know what? I know where it is. I'm sorry. It's under carbon fee and dividend resources. I'm sorry. So this is a study about carbon fee and dividend, how it impacts. So you can see right there, it's like the fourth item down, the household impact study. And when you click on that, there'll be a link to actually a PDF document for your district. I'm sorry, we're running real slow whenever we're on a video conference. And you can see this item number here. It says number 4, study results per district. So again, you can click on this. And then Steve, what was your district number?
It's Ohio 14.
Ohio 14. And this goes to a Google Drive folder, and so it does take a little bit to load. But there's 435 different reports in here for each district. As you can see, it's taken a while. So you can download the one, you know, the household impact study for your district. Does that help you out a little bit, Steve?
Yeah, that's great. Thank you.
Okay. The other question. Yeah.
Okay. The other one may be a little more complicated, but this could be the first time for me, and I've exchanged some emails with both the local and DC offices so far. But trying to set something, you know, up a meeting here soon. But I guess I keep hearing that we're supposed to have a team that meets with the people, right? Somebody to take notes, somebody to, you know, just different roles in the meeting, right? That's part of our how to do this meeting business. And I'm all kind of new to that. So we also have a pretty well brand new city group based in Akron, Ohio, which is closest the closest big city to me. But people in Akron aren't necessarily all that convenient to where my district, you know, the way the districts are drawn, right? We're all over the place. So, you know, is there some sensible way to coordinate who else might come with you? Or for example, if I wanted to volunteer to help with, say, a meeting with one of our Ohio senators or with another representative from Ohio, and I was willing to go along on their meeting, yeah, how do we kind of coordinate all that? Do we do that through the state person or maybe through our own city person, yeah. I guess?
I was going to say, you should have if a state coordinator, and if not a state coordinator, then you definitely have a regional coordinator.
We have a state one.
Yeah, I would go, I'm not sure who Ohio is, but I would talk to them. I'm sure there's more than one person that would be thrilled to have you join in their meeting. And I'm also sure there's probably plenty of people that would be willing to come to yours. So
right.
I would definitely talk to the state coordinator. And if worse comes worse, you're more than welcome to do it by yourself. I mean, it'll be a little harder, but it's
right.
There's been plenty of CCLers who started off as single groups and then, expanded from there.
Yeah. And go ahead.
I was going to say the meeting notes I've gotten so far from prior meetings. So I have, it's the same congressman that had been there before. Those must have been the DC meetings, I imagine. And they're showing like, you know, anywhere from 3 to 6 people.
Yeah.
Went to those.
That's a DC. Yeah. That's probably
right.
Yep. And then last thing I'll point you to just on community. I'm on this page right now. This is our CCU training. If you click on lobby training, and this is, there's some people that are beginning of the call that said they were brand new to CCL. And I was like, well, you know, this lesson is not really going to be like this very specifics of how to lobby. But you can see we have our lobbying series, lobbying 101 through 401. And I think the lesson that you're really talking about as far as like how to prepare for a meeting and how to create the roles that you're talking about, Steve, that's this lobbying 201 lesson, as you can see. So it would really be worth it probably to listen to 201 and 301 before you have a, you know, opportunity to get together with your group. Yeah.
Sounds great. Thanks a lot.
All right. Thank you.